Amen. Have you experienced God's blessing this week? Have you seen God's hands at work? I left you last week with a blessing. I'm hoping today you'll be just as encouraged to seek God for those things. Have you realized that when God blesses you, and sometimes we lose sight of that because we have this idea that when God blesses us, everything is going to turn out like a rose garden. That's not the case. When God blesses you, there are going to be challenges and changes that occur. And here in Deuteronomy, that's exactly what's going on. Moses begins, and he literally blesses the people. Notice Moses' blessings and prayer. I mean, just imagine, you probably have a million or so people, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. Basically, you have a group of people that's larger than the city of Pittsburgh, and Moses is talking to them, and he looks out at them, and he says, "My God, bless you and increase you 1,000 times than what you are right now." A generational blessing that goes out beyond them into the future. And one of the things I asked you to do last week, and I challenge you to at least consider it, have any of you ask God to move that way at Greenville Alliance Church? I can tell by your look you haven't gone there yet. Why not ask God, what would it look like? But I want you to see something else that so often we forget. Do you realize, as a pastor, but also just as followers of Christ, that there's a privilege that we have, that we can ask God to bless and favor to you? And you realize that one of the joys that I have and our staff have is that we can cry out on your behalf. In fact, if you came to our house and you looked on our refrigerator, you'd see the top half, and now a little bit down lower, toward the bottom half, there are pictures of your kids and grandkids and families. And almost every single morning as I get up and I open the refrigerator door, there's that moment beforehand where I just simply cry out, "Lord, bless these families." And sometimes I'll put my hand on the picture. Other times it's just my hand toward the door, asking for blessing and protection and favor in all of your decisions. And I just wanted to let you know this morning that there's more room on the refrigerator door if you have any of those pictures you want to send us. But in the midst of these blessings, there were burdens. I mean, just think for a few moments. And one of the things that struck me this week, I've always sort of had this idea that when the nation of God became that nation and the nation of Israel was following after God, how many of you think it was just a wonderful, happy, clappy place to be? Seriously, I've often had this idea that, you know, everyone was following after God. They saw the pillar during the day and the flame at night, and that Moses would walk through the camp and his face was bright because he'd spent time with him. And it just struck me the other day, literally, in these last few months, I realized it probably wouldn't have been that much fun. The city of Pittsburgh, there were different families, different backgrounds, different tribes, and it talks about that right here. In fact, just to give you a little bit of idea what was going on in my heart as I said, "You're a part of the tribe," is because if I said we're a community, we've used that word too much and no one knows what that means. And if we say we're the family of God, I don't think any of us knows what that is, but maybe you and I will begin to understand that we're part of a tribe. A tribe is a herd of people that come together for survival and life and encouragement and protection, and we come in the name of Jesus. So you and I are part of a tribe today. And what goes on there? Moses begins to display some great leadership traits, and it's found here, but throughout the whole book. Let me share with you just a few of them this morning. He literally looks at this ragtag group of people and he says, "You're part of the tribe. You're part of the family of God." And he says, "I want you to pick out some people and I want you to work with, for every 1,000 of you, I want at least one leader. And for every 100, I want another leader. And for every 50, I want another leader. And for every 10 people, I want another leader." And it just struck me this week more than any other time, because I always figured, okay, you have 100 people, you need a leader, but as you get lesser there, why would 10 people need someone to lead them and direct them and to walk with them and judge them? And I think Moses did it because every single person is valuable in the tribe. And what if we became a church that we decided that we were going to become that tribal type of people, that family of God, where we were connected and that there was no one person that did life on their own? See, that's exactly what was going on here. So let me tell you about these leaders that Moses picked, and let me tell you about the leader Moses himself. because if leadership is going to work within our community and any community, the first and foremost idea is that leadership needs to be submissive. And we know from the scriptures here that Moses, first of all, was under God's rule and reign. We recognize that Moses literally was a man who came under the authority of God himself. He submitted to him in the details of his life. Literally, Moses went every single day and came before God and said, "How would you want me to do this?" He literally did his work God's way. If we're going to be effective in the community and in this church, we need to be a people that are submitted to God in the details of our lives. And again, that's a big church word, and that's a church word that we use enough that most of us don't even know what being submitted to God means any longer, because we've made it so spiritual that it's been detached from everything else. It literally means that we are a people who are obedient to God in the details of our lives. How we do life every single day, the shows that we watch, the music that we listen to, the friendships that we have, the way we do business. Do you ask for God's thoughts? Do you study God's word looking for answers? Are you a people that walk under authority? See, I think we've lost that within the United States, and I think we are literally raising a generation of kids and adults that don't know what it means to walk under authority. Some of you that came from the military sort of understand that. It didn't matter how you felt about the sergeant. If they told you to do it, what did you do? I can remember Jed telling stories of basics where they'd walk up to him and say, "Seconder, did your mother give you paint chip sandwiches when you were a boy?" And he said, "Sir, yes, sir." Are you that way with God? When you look at your business or your time or your attitudes or behaviors or your dreams or your hopes, do you first and foremost bring them before the authority of God and say, "Lord, will you step in and let me do life your way, not my way?" That's a wrestling point, isn't it? Second thing about Moses is that he was realistic. Moses knew his limits. I mean, just imagine this. I mean, Moses, just think about it. He was the man. I mean, just imagine if you had a pastor, and I think it would be so cool. He spent so much time with God that literally it says when he came out of the tent of meeting, because God and him were just like friends, his face glowed so bright that he literally had to put a veil over his face because you couldn't look at him. I mean, just think about that for a few seconds. If you had that relationship with God, would you ever think you needed any help? Seriously, would you? Moses, I mean, he made the waters part. He brought water out of rocks. He was this warrior king that when his arms rubbed, Israel was victorious in everything. And yet, what does it say in verse 9? "At that time I said to you, you are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone." Do you hear that? Moses was a realistic leader. He understood his limits. He needed God beyond a shadow of a doubt, and he recognized that and knew it, but he also needed help. And see, I think too often in the body of Christ, we have this image that it's just Jesus and me. And if he's walking with me, I don't need anything else. And pastors are tremendously gifted at thinking this way. And it's not right. In fact, I think most of us struggle with this one. And certainly, since I've been in Western PA, I see that more and more clearly than I've ever seen it. We don't ask for help, and we don't ever acknowledge there's a need, do we? When we were moving, one of the interesting stories that we have is that, as some of you know, I have this huge gun safe, and we got it in New Jersey because if you just mentioned you had a gun in New Jersey, the police would show up. And so we wanted to make sure that the kids never even were exposed to those, not our kids, everyone else's kids. So I had this tremendously large safe, and I can remember I was going to move it by my own. Some of you helped us when we moved it here, but I had this rickety old, furniture dolly, and the handle had a sort of scoop out of it, a hollow part. And so sure enough, I got it going, and I rolled it. I think it was on the driveway or the walkway. I'm not sure which it was, and the thing started to go, and I ended up like this. Thankfully, the little scooped out part was right here because there could have been some serious damage. But what's most fun is that I looked up at Joyce and said, I got this. And she, one of our friends was walking by, and he came and helped us up, and I can still remember she looked at him and said, boy, he has really big arms, but that has nothing to do with the story. I didn't want to admit that I needed help. Moses admitted that he needed help. How about you? When the world tells us every single day in leadership and in life, the most important thing is self-confidence and be self-assertive, and though Moses had those traits, he still sought help. And I can tell you as a minister, as I talk to ministers, one of the hardest things to do in ministry is admit that you can't do it all. In fact, I regularly read stories and articles that come across my desk that say today's pastor needs to be a preacher, a pastor, a CEO, a chairman of the board, a fundraiser, a teacher, a counselor, a banker, a builder, a prayer, a program director, and an administrator. And you know what? Nobody can do all of that stuff. And we have an amazing leadership team here that recognizes that and sees that. Do you realize if we're going to continue to grow, we are going to need to continue to grow our tribal leadership in 50s and hundreds and tens and ones? What would that look like for you? Can you submit to God and can you admit that you need help and do something about it? Third, Moses was confident in the midst of those circumstances, but what's interesting, he wasn't confident in himself. He was confident in God's unlimited power. Confident in God's nature and deeds. Do you realize that that was the thing that set him apart, is that he can remember back the beginning of the journey and he had those memories that he held on to and realized because God was faithful in the past, he was certainly going to be faithful in the future. Do you also realize that Moses understood the fact that God's nature is to help people? He wants to help people. He longs for people to come to him. Do you remember the story? God will make a way. And so every single day, Moses got up and understood that God delivered them from the past and he would be with them in the future. What if we believe that? Fourthly, Moses was a sacrificial leader. Because as I read through the story of Deuteronomy and read through his history, I see there were huge issues that Moses had to deal with, and he failed. And in fact, one of his things he needed to deal with was his anger and upsetness. But he realized that there was always a cost to leadership. There's always going to be a cost to growth. If you as follower of Christ decide that you're going to grow up and be men and women of God that transform the world, you need to understand there's going to be a cost in doing that. There's going to be time and effort and resources, and you're going to have to say no, not just to good things and great things, but just the simple things. You can't do everything, yet we're told every single day, you can do everything and still walk with God effectively. I don't see it anywhere happening like that. There will be times when you're going to have to say no to your family and maybe to put off some friendships. But Moses was willing to sacrifice those things in order for the kingdom of God to grow. How about you? See, when I look at our church and our community, the truth is we will only move forward by all of us getting involved, all of us being willing and able, diverse, and bringing our diverse skills together. If I was in seminary, I'd tell you right now, have you ever heard the comment, be fat people? Be fat people, faithful, available, teachable. See, all of you were like, where is he going with this? Faithful, available, write it down, teachable. Are you making wise choices with your time and direction and resources? And then Moses, lastly, cries out and he says, I need some wise people, people of understanding, insightful people who have perspective and can be sensitive to people and situations and circumstances. And even yesterday, I sort of wrestled with that because one of the things that the coroner said, who isn't a part of the church, and the Mercer County substance abuse counselor that works with Mercer County, the county commissioner, they kept saying, and when people find themselves broken and in dangerous areas or places that are filled with addictions and they're in bondage to things, we know that the first place they turn is the church. They kept saying stuff like that. And I kept thinking, that's not the church I grew up with, because if there was anything wrong, you never went to the church. They would just make you feel worse. Isn't that how it works? There's shame and there's guilt and upsetness. And that doesn't mean that people aren't accountable to their choices. But if we're going to have an impact on this community, we need to be a people that have wisdom and understanding and perspective, that we can be sensitive to circumstances and situations and work through situations. I can recall, and we just have a couple minutes late, I can recall when I was in Pennsylvania, or not in Pennsylvania, in Princeton, I was doing ministry there, and it was an amazing church that God just did great things. But I can remember coming in, and this is probably not the greatest example, but back in the days, just imagine 30 years ago. That's so long ago. Anyway, I can remember going in to do Bible studies. These were all powerful executives, and they had these great jobs and beautiful homes. It was Princeton. They were really, really educated, and we were just going verse by verse through the book of John. And I can remember walking in, and they'd say, "Hey, pastor, you want a bourbon? How about a glass of wine to help you get through this?" And they would just continually go like that. And that was a day and age where, for followers of Christ, I wasn't sure what to do with that. And I would just say, "How about later?" and just let it go. And I can remember getting together with other pastors, and they would say, "You know what, when you walk into those Bible studies, you need to tell them that drinking is wrong and it's not a good thing, and they should smarten up. If they're going to walk with God, that's all the stuff they're going to have to give up." And I can remember my dad as a deist saying, "Just keep your mouth shut and let Jesus do the work." See, if we're going to affect our community, that doesn't mean we don't deal with stuff, but we need to realize life is a whole lot more complicated than it seems. We need to realize that our families are not as pristine as they look, and there's a whole lot of dysfunction that goes on behind closed doors. We need to realize that people are walking through storms. We have no idea what it looks like because they've never told anyone what it looks like. And I think sometimes, because we have this image that the nation of Israel was made up of wonderfully nice and gentle and kind followers of God, that these guys didn't have anything to worry about. And yet it says, what does Moses say? "Because of the problems and the burdens and the disputes, I can't handle this anymore." And he says, as those people began to gather around him that have wisdom, he said a couple of things. He said, "I want my leaders of the tribe to beware of favoritism." He says, "I want them to be fearless, to make right decisions, and don't worry about what the crowd thinks." And he says, "I want you to watch out for isolation." And he literally says that one of the vulnerabilities is there's a loneliness that comes upon people who are in leadership. Except I believe that there's a loneliness that has creeped into our culture. And most of you sitting there today, even though you've been in the church for a long time, there's a loneliness that captures us because of the isolation of technology and busyness and running, that we just think everything we experience is normal. And Moses says we need people that recognize and realize how vulnerable we are. And just imagine if we became the people that understood that and recognized it. They're saying now that this future, this generation that's coming up, is so involved with their technology that they literally have a really difficult time speaking to people in the flesh. Sounds crazy, but isn't that how we work? We text over call. So I want to ask you some questions as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, and hopefully this will all be tied in together for you. Before you take the Lord's Supper, as Dan is playing, I want to ask that you ask these questions to the Father in heaven. Father, am I submissive? Lord, am I truly under your authority? Is there any area in my life that I have taken over instead of allowing you to take over? Am I obedient? Next question, Father, am I realistic? Do I know that I have limits? Father, am I someone that asks for help? Or do I sit under the gun safe and just try to push up? It's only 1,500 pounds. We can do it. Third question, Father, am I living in your confidence? And for some of us, that just simply says, Father, deal with the doubt. Deal with the fear that I wrestle with. Deal with the unbelief that captures me. Father, am I sacrificial for the tribe? If someone were to look at my life, would they say, yep, they're sold out to God and the kingdom? They have relationships in this tribe they call a church. Lastly, do you recognize the scripture says that we have the only God in the universe that says, if you lack wisdom, ask me. And the scripture is so cool because God doesn't say, I'm going to think about giving it to you. He says, I will give it to you richly. So if you're here today and you don't have a clue about what's going on or how it's happening or how you can control the circumstances or your kids or your grandkids, and you wonder what tomorrow brings, you can come before the Lord this morning and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Then would you pray for us as a governing board and as a staff and as Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and sports coaches? Lord, would you begin to enable us to walk away from favoritism? And don't think that doesn't happen in the church, because sometimes you recognize when you make decisions, you're just told outright, you know what, I'm going to leave if you do this. Could you pray that we would not be fearful, but we would be fearless? And would you pray that we would be a people that don't think loneliness is the norm and begin to deal with that isolation? Maybe you're here today and you simply need to say, God, I don't feel like I'm connected. Would you connect me like you were with him? Let's pray. And as I'm praying, I'm asking our helpers to come. Father Moses was an amazing leader, but he wasn't perfect. But he was submitted to you, and he was realistic. And he lived with fears and anxieties just like us, but he came back to you over and over again and say, I've seen you've been faithful in the past, so I'm going to trust you in the future. And Lord, as we ask ourselves these simple questions, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would speak. Speak to us today. Father, would you make us a church that is fearless and hope-filled? Father, would you make us a church that doesn't look at the color of skin or the vehicle that's been driven or the number of tattoos or piercings or the color of our hair, from the most liberal to the most conservative? Lord, would you enable us to be a people that love people well? Would you enable us to be a people that admit we're broken just as much, and that we're all sinners saved by grace? And you captured us just like you long to capture others. Father, we're asking today that you would once again refresh our connection with you as we partake of the story of love. In Jesus' name, amen.